¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
On June 27, 2020, Fauna Fry, a 45-year-old woman grieving the recent loss of her brother, left her family home in Dexter, Oregon, with plans to visit some of his loved ones in the Grants Pass area. 2 days later, on June 29th, Fauna was seen buying groceries in Grants Pass, but after that, she vanished. Months later, her Jeep was discovered abandoned on a remote road over an hour from the grocery store, yet Fauna was nowhere to be found. It's been over 4 years since Fauna disappeared, and her family is still desperate for answers. Hey everyone, welcome back to Detective Perspective. My name is Derek Levasseur. I'm a licensed private investigator and former police detective. Each week I'll be covering an unsolved case in story format. I'll then give you my perspective on the investigation and provide contact information for the individuals or organizations connected to the case so that if you have any tips, you can contact them directly and maybe you can help solve a case. So if you're someone who's interested in true crime, specifically unsolved cases, and you would like to hear my opinion on those investigations, please consider subscribing whether you're watching on YouTube or listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever platform you use. Okay, so Fauna Fry. This case is an interesting one in the sense that we do have a lot of details, and yet there's still a lot of unanswered questions, even just basic questions that may help us have a better understanding of Fauna's last movements, her last whereabouts. And when I look at this case, I want to always offer something that maybe hasn't been explored yet, maybe another option. And I'll talk about some of the things that I think are important in this case that really need to be focused on if they haven't been already. But the reality of this one is the phrase call to action. A lot of you have probably heard that before. And many podcasts and TV shows use this phrase because it's an opportunity at the end of an episode, specifically in true crime, to call on the help of the people watching or listening. And I do that every episode. But this one has a much stronger emphasis to me because this is a pretty new case, right? This is not an old case. We're only talking about 4+ years. And so detectives are holding a lot close to the vest, although I will say in this case, as we're going to talk about, family members who had inside information did not honor the wishes of law enforcement and shared some information that they didn't necessarily want out there. So it does give us a little bit of insight into where they are in this case, but not a ton. So back to this call to action, this is really up to you guys. I do think people out there know what happened to Fauna. I think this community specifically, there were individuals who were with Fauna before she kind of went off the map. And it's important to identify those people, maybe a specific vehicle, get them into a police station or at least get them interviewed somewhere to kind of pin them down and find out what they know about Fauna and what they know about the day in question. So that's really what I'm hoping here is that by pushing this out there, if you haven't heard of this case and you're from that area or you know someone from that area, this may reach some new eyes and ears. And so we're not always going to have game-changing revelations or theories about the cases that I cover here on the show. Sometimes it's about covering cases that I feel don't have enough coverage yet and enough notoriety, and I'm hoping to give it a little bit of a push. And that may be all it is, but in some cases, that's all it takes. And for the people watching on YouTube, just a side note, sorry about the hair, just worked out at the gym. So tonight, if you're unfortunate enough to be watching this instead of listening to it, you're going to be stuck with this mop on top of my head. But let's be honest, you're not coming here for my looks. So it's not really much of a downgrade. But with that out of the way, let's not waste any more time. Let's dive into this week's case. Fauna Rosanna Fry was born on May 20th, 1975, and grew up in Oregon, where she was really close with her family, which consisted of her parents, her sister, and her brother. Fauna was described as responsible, hardworking, and successful, with no history of substance abuse or mental health issues. I say that because as we get into the story, that will be a question that some people may have, and that's why I want to open up the show by saying there were no indications of that before her disappearance. Fauna enjoyed reading, hiking, and camping, and she wasn't really that active on the internet or social media. She didn't even have a Facebook account. Instead, Fauna preferred to use a pay-as-you-go flip phone to stay in touch with others rather than relying on a smartphone, and I think we can all agree that is a rarity in today's day and age. In 2004, Fauna's family began experiencing a series of heartbreaking events. That year, her mother passed, and then, 2 years later, her sister died as well. Following these tragedies, it was just Fauna, her brother Dallas, and her father John. The three of them grew closer and worked together at the family business where they built and sold homes. They also lived together on the family's country property in Dexter, Oregon. According to the Help Find Fauna Fry Facebook group, Fauna kept mostly to herself and rarely interacted with anyone outside the immediate family. In June of 2020, the Fry family faced yet another devastating blow, one that sent Fauna into a state of complete distress. On June 19th, Fauna found her brother Dallas unconscious at his home on their family's property. She performed CPR, but despite her efforts, Dallas passed away. An autopsy would later conclude that he died of heart failure, and as you can imagine, Fauna was distraught. She had now lost her brother, her sister, and her mother. On June 27th, Fauna told her father John that she wanted to travel around 2 hours south to the Grants Pass area. She felt it was important to personally tell some of Dallas's loved ones about his passing rather than doing it over the phone. Fauna mentioned that she planned to specifically visit three of Dallas's loved ones, a former girlfriend, a close friend named Sean, and a man who had been close friends with Fauna's mother. She told her dad that Sean would be her first stop. Now, I want to mention here, I'm not purposely only mentioning Sean. The two other names of the two other friends has never been publicly released. The one that has is Sean. So it's not that we're not including these people for their own protection. The names are just not out there. And I don't think it's because they're somehow involved with Fauna's disappearance. I think it's just a privacy thing. So even if I had the names, I wouldn't mention them. But full disclosure, I don't. The only name that's been out there, and you'll understand why shortly, is Sean. Now, at around 10 p.m. that night, Fauna, who was visibly distraught, left the family property driving her dark blue 2000 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo. She didn't pack any extra clothing, but brought along a North Face day pack, her purse, and her wallet. Notably, she left her laptop and cell phone behind. Now, for most people, that might be a red flag right there, but as I mentioned earlier, Fauna wasn't a big fan of technology, so yes, 90% of cases, I would say this could be an indication of maybe some motive or what she was planning on doing. But in this particular case, based on what we know about Fauna, I don't have a huge issue with it. Although I will say, whenever you're traveling, you should always at least have a phone on you. Now, John didn't hear from Fauna again until the next day at around 8 p.m. when she called him from the Super 8 Motel in Grants Pass, where she was staying. During the call, John noticed that Fauna sounded off. She mentioned that she had to sleep in her car the previous night, but was now at the Super 8. Now, even though she was there, she didn't really like it because the hotel was quote-unquote creeping her out. And despite feeling uneasy, she told John that she still wanted to stay in the Grants Pass area for a few days to connect with the people who were closest to Dallas. According to KTVL, during their conversation, Fauna mentioned that earlier that day, she had picked up a female hitchhiker. This surprised John, as it was completely out of character for her, and he believed the fact that she was still in deep grief and not thinking clearly was the only reason she would do something like that. Now, the exact timing of the sequence of events surrounding when Fauna picked up the hitchhiker remains unclear. It's believed that Fauna picked up the hitchhiker at the Wonder General Store, located just off Route 199 in Wonder, a small town between Grants Pass and Cave Junction, likely while she was getting gas. The hitchhiker reportedly approached Fauna, asking if she was headed in a particular direction, and if so, whether she could get a ride. Fauna agreed, later telling her dad that she had said yes because the woman seemed harmless. From there, Fauna drove the hitchhiker to a location on or near Cheney Creek Road in Grants Pass, traveling via Fish Hatchery Road. So that's what we know about the initial interaction with the hitchhiker and what transpired shortly after. But back to this call, because it's important. Before ending the call, John suggested that Fauna consider finding a cabin instead of staying at the hotel, which was upsetting her, and she agreed. He then asked her to call him from the new location the following night, and she said that she would. She then mentioned her plans to shower and pick up a few things at the store before returning to the hotel. And at approximately 8:20 p.m., Fauna ended the call with her father. It was the last time they ever spoke. Now, we're just scratching the surface here. We have a lot more to cover, but let's take our first break.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
You can't make the most of your data if it's stuck in different silos. If it's scattered across the cloud, on-prem, and with your apps, then it's hard to access, hard to work with, and increasingly expensive. Now you can see it all and manage it all from one place. Welcome to Data Done Right. You can start managing your data, not your infrastructure. It's unified, simple, secure, and it's only with a Pure Storage platform. Get started at purestorage.com.
Okay, we're back. And as I mentioned before the break, Fauna and John had this phone call. She had said that she was going to call him the next night. She never did. So a few days later, John reported Fauna missing to the Josephine County Sheriff's Office. Since Grants Pass is located in Josephine County and it was the last place John knew Fauna had been, he filed the report there. Immediately, both John and the Sheriff's Office began investigating her disappearance. Now, unfortunately, as I mentioned at the top of the episode, Fauna drove an older vehicle, so there was no GPS installed. Therefore, law enforcement couldn't track her vehicle's movements. However, they were able to use her bank records and surveillance footage to piece together a detailed timeline of her activity after she left home on the 27th and headed toward Grants Pass. The timeline begins on June 28th at 10:08 a.m. when Fauna stopped in Cresswell, Oregon and purchased $20 worth of gas. This detail is notable because Cresswell is only about 20 minutes from Dexter, where Fauna lived. Now, the reason I say that's notable is if you remember, Fauna had told John she was leaving on the 27th, and yet the next morning, she was still only 20 minutes away from the property. So there is a big question, even to this day. I don't know if it's been answered behind closed doors. I can't tell you where Fauna was on the night of the 27th. Did she not sleep at the property? Did John just not see her, or was she somewhere else before getting on the road the next morning? Now, we do have other identifications, other spottings of her throughout this timeline, but still, as an investigator, I want to know everything. So I'm curious at this point, due to the lack of information and the inconsistency in the beginning of this timeline, what was she doing on the night of the 27th? Who was she with? Who did she talk to? It may be irrelevant, but still, I want to have that information. Now, according to Help Find Fauna Fry, after getting gas in Cresswell, Fauna headed south toward the Grants Pass area. At approximately 11:40 a.m., roughly 100 miles into her trip, she stopped at the Wolf Creek General Store and purchased some chicken strips. This general store is located in the small town of Wolf Creek, just off I-5, about 20 miles north of Grants Pass. After leaving the general store, about 5 minutes later, Fauna arrived at the home of Sean, who lived in Wolf Creek. She brought the still warm chicken strips and gave them to Sean's dog. Fauna stayed about 30 minutes, and during her visit, she asked Sean to use his computer to look up the address of another one of Dallas's friends, a man who knew both Fauna and Dallas's mother. Sean reportedly found three possible addresses, but Fauna only requested that he write down the one located on Onion Mountain Road in Wilderville, which is about 10 miles southwest of Wolf Creek. Incidentally, this location is right next to Wonder, where at some point Fauna picked up the hitchhiker. Now, side note here, if all of this is getting confusing to you, congratulations, you're right there with me. I had to read this three or four different times before it started to make sense, so I do apologize. I'm doing the best I can to kind of keep it chronological, but there are points where I'm going to skip around or maybe backtrack to remind you of something. This may be one where you have to listen to it or watch it a few times before you can visually grasp the chain of events that happened with Fauna. Okay, so now back to the story. At around 12:15 p.m., Sean walked Fauna back to her car and noticed that there wasn't much inside the vehicle. There was no camping gear or anything of that sort. Now, at this point, me bringing up that observation might not make a lot of sense, but as we get to the end of the story, it'll all come together. Now, as far as the timeline, there's no record of Fauna's movements again until 7:04 p.m. that evening when she purchased gas in Cave Junction, which is approximately 50 miles southwest of Wolf Creek. Now, to reach Cave Junction, Fauna would have driven through Grants Pass, Wilderville, and Wonder. It's believed that she made a stop in Wonder to refuel, and while there, that's when she picked up the hitchhiker. She drove the hitchhiker about 13 miles back to Grants Pass, and after that, Fauna would have to backtrack all the way to Wonder and then continue 15 miles to Cave Junction. Now, I know this is a little convoluted, and I'm just trying to put it all out there. Again, visually, you'll have to go back and look at it, maybe even pull up the map. We can probably have a map up here, but it's not the most efficient route based on what she wants to do, but it does appear that maybe she was thrown off because of this hitchhiker and wanting to do a good deed. Okay, so now back to this hitchhiker, because I know at this point you're all saying it's got to be the hitchhiker, right? That's your initial thought, and I understand where you're coming from. However, according to Help Find Fauna Fry, the police have identified and spoke with the hitchhiker and were able to confirm that the ride did happen. However, they couldn't pinpoint the exact time it occurred. Now, the hitchhiker's account has been corroborated, and according to law enforcement, they have ruled out the possibility of any involvement in Fauna's disappearance. I know what you're thinking. I'm thinking the same thing. How can you rule someone out when you don't have all the details and you don't know what happened to her? They know more than us. That's all I can say. They must have something that's exculpatory in nature. But I am going to come back to the hitchhiker because there's a part of the story where I'm questioning how Fauna got there. Was she advised to go there? Was she recommended this location? Or was she brought there by the hitchhiker? So we're going to come back to it. And when it comes up, you'll know what I'm talking about. And the reason I say that is because, yes, maybe this hitchhiker doesn't have some direct involvement with her disappearance, but could something that this hitchhiker had mentioned to her, or like I said, recommended to her, led to whatever happened that caused her disappearance? That's what I'm talking about. This person could still have and possess information that could solve this case. So I don't know if they're keeping tabs on this hitchhiker, but if I was in charge of this case, I definitely would be. Real quickly, back to the timeline and all these locations, the reason Fauna went to Cave Junction after dropping the hitchhiker off remains unclear to this day. Your guess is as good as mine. I will say it's possible that she went to Wilderville first and attempted to locate the man reportedly living on Old Onion Mountain Road. However, there's no evidence confirming that she ever reached his house. I just want to put that out there. And I will say that when the police investigated this possible theory, they discovered that the man no longer lived at the Old Onion Mountain address. It's still uncertain whether Fauna learned that he no longer lived there, or she just thought that he moved to the Cave Junction area, which might explain why she went there. We just don't know at this point. Regardless, after getting gas in Cave Junction, Fauna drove back to Grants Pass to check into the Super 8 Motel. About 15 minutes later, at 8 p.m., that's when she made the call to her father. Now, just a few minutes after ending the call at 8:26 p.m., she arrived at the Fred Meyer grocery store where she purchased several items, including socks, shampoo, conditioner, lip balm, activewear clothing, a deli sandwich, a bag of potato chips, and two cans of Foster's beer. At 8:50 p.m., security footage captured Fauna leaving the Fred Meyer store. She then returned to the Super 8 alone, and it is important to note that on the security camera footage, it does not look like there's anyone else with her. On June 29th at 8:35 a.m., Fauna left her room at the Super 8. According to Help Find Fauna Fry, Surveillance footage captured her carrying her bags and personal belongings. At 9:44 a.m., she made a $200 cash withdrawal from an Umpqua Bank ATM located in Rogue River, which is around 10 miles east of Grants Pass. Later that afternoon, Fauna visited the Big Five Sporting Goods store in Grants Pass, where she checked out at 12:36 p.m. Her purchases included a 3-pack of palm-held flashlights, a small lantern, shirts, capris, tennis shoes, and a sports bra. At 2:39 p.m., Fauna called the Westview Inn, which is situated about halfway between Rogue River and Grants Pass, and made a one-night reservation for approximately $365. Now, this is her last known phone call. After making that reservation, Fauna went to Gooseberry's, an organic food store in Grants Pass. At 3:38 p.m., she purchased several items, including 10 packs of tuna, 3 cans of coffee that didn't require refrigeration, and a smoothie. This visit to Gooseberry's is Fauna's last known location. Fauna never arrived to check in at the Westview Inn, even though check-in was available starting at 3 p.m. Even though she didn't show up, she was still charged for the room since she never canceled the reservation. But after this charge, Fauna's bank account, which had approximately $3,500, was never touched again. And that's where the timeline of Fauna's movements come to an end. It doesn't appear that Fauna ever made it to the homes of the two other people she had planned to visit. And I do apologize that the timeline is a little confusing, but obviously necessary. But that's not where the story ends. There's still more developments, and there's information that we're now privy to that we were never supposed to hear. And we're going to get into that right after this last break.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Okay, we're back, and over the next few months, John drove around Oregon and the surrounding states searching for his daughter, camping in his truck as he followed any potential leads. He offered a reward, which eventually grew to $100,000, but there was no sign of John's last remaining child anywhere. Then, on September 23rd, a man walking in the remote Mount Reuben Road area discovered Fauna's Jeep on a spur road off BLM Road 34-8-1. This area was directly west of Wolf Creek, around 36 miles or an hour drive from Gooseberry's. Law enforcement recovered the vehicle, and evidence suggested that it had likely been there for more than a month. There were no signs of foul play at the scene, the Jeep was locked, and the keys were nowhere to be found either inside or nearby the vehicle. Fauna's purse, wallet, driver's license, and North Face day pack were also missing. Now, some of Fauna's recent purchases, along with some of her other personal items, were still inside the vehicle. These included an unused box of hair dye, an old Lion King video that had sentimental value, a few articles of clothing, the lantern, shoes and sports bra she purchased from Big Five, as well as the cans of coffee and tuna she had bought from Gooseberry's. There was also a hunting map, but it wasn't from the area where the car was discovered. Instead, it was from a location on the other side of the freeway, closer to Shady Grove. At first, it was believed that Fauna parked her car there and went hiking and possibly got lost. However, John later told Newsweek that he didn't believe this was a place where Fauna would go hiking. It was a steep, remote area far from any established trails. Regardless, after Fauna's car was found, search and rescue teams conducted an extensive search around the area with cadaver dogs. Despite their efforts, Fauna was never located. Now, the Oregon State Police later processed her vehicle, collecting DNA and fingerprints, but as I sit here today, it's still unclear what results, if any, came from this search. Now, remember I said before the break that we are now privy to information that we shouldn't have? We're going to get into that right now. In September of 2023, John appeared on Newsweek's podcast, Here One Minute, Gone the Next. When he was on, he shared information about Fauna's disappearance. John said it had been more than 3 years since Fauna disappeared, and they hadn't found her, so there was no longer a reason to hold back information. The most significant piece of information, John revealed, was that when Fauna left her house and headed to Grants Pass, she was carrying around $25,000 worth of silver coins, known as 1 ounce Buffalo silver rounds. These coins originally belonged to Dallas, who preferred investing in silver rather than using banks. Notably, these coins are difficult to trace, they have no dates and feature a picture of a Native American on the front with a buffalo and the words 1 troy ounce .999 fine silver on the back. John explained to Newsweek that Fauna took the $25,000 worth of Dallas's coins with plans to divide them among the three friends. When she left the house, she had the coins packed in 2 boxes, each measuring around 12 to 13 inches both in length and width. At the time, each silver coin was worth around $17.83, meaning Fauna had approximately 1,400 coins in total, which would have weighed approximately 88 pounds. John suggested she exchange the coins for cash and give them to Dallas's friends instead, but Fauna was adamant about delivering the coins themselves as she felt it was more of a personal gesture since they had belonged to Dallas. Now, according to John, the only person known to have received any of the silver was Sean, who received approximately $7,000 worth of coins. The other two people didn't get anything because Fauna never made it to their homes. Sean reported that Fauna gave him about half a box of coins, and when he walked her back to her car, he noticed that she still had another full box that was unopened. This meant that she still had around $18,000 worth of coins, which would be approximately 1,000 coins weighing around 63 pounds. Now, it's important to note that when Fauna's car was eventually found, the coins were missing. John further revealed that Fauna's saddlebag, which had her name stamped on it, was found in the same area where she had dropped off the hitchhiker. He went on to explain how the bag was discovered. A woman contacted John, stating that around the time Fauna disappeared, she and her husband were out walking their dog when they saw Fauna in the passenger seat of a white BMW leaving a house near where the couple lived. The car was being driven by a man with dark hair and also facial hair. The woman mentioned that the house the BMW was pulling away from had a reputation as a trouble spot in the area and that it was known for drug activity. After hearing this, John began researching the house and even drove by it himself. He discovered that the property was a known hangout for a motorcycle group and was often frequented by people looking to buy drugs. It's also worth noting that the hitchhiker Fauna had picked up was known to frequent the area as well. This is what I was referring to earlier. As I mentioned, law enforcement has cleared the hitchhiker and said they're not a person of interest. I don't know what they have. I'm hoping it's exculpatory in nature, completely ruling them out as being the person directly involved with her disappearance. But how could you know this information and not come to a theory, at least, that maybe, just maybe, the hitchhiker knows someone who may be responsible or have information about Fauna's disappearance? The hitchhiker could be the key to this whole case, and that's why I said earlier, I really hope they're keeping a close eye on this person, because they may have the keys to the castle. They may know exactly what happened to Fauna, and yet they haven't said anything. Now, again, that's just my opinion. I don't know what they know, but this seems to be the connection here. We know that Fauna was seen at this location, and by the way, the information to confirm she was actually there is about to get even better, but just trust me for right now, she was there, and we know that the only connection to this property would have been this hitchhiker. So is it reasonable to assume that this hitchhiker recommended this location and therefore would know the people who reside there and maybe some of the backgrounds of these people? I think that's pretty likely. So I'm just throwing it out there. Yes, this person's cleared as a suspect. I don't know how they got there, but I don't know, based on what we have publicly, if I would have been as quick to do that. At least in a public forum, I would have just probably left the hitchhiker's name out there and kept it to myself, because from what I'm seeing, I think it's a real possibility that this hitchhiker does have more information than maybe they've shared so far. Now, it took a few months before John was able to talk to anyone living at the house, and by that time, the property had been sold to new owners. These new residents eventually reached out to John, telling him that they found a saddlebag left at the property. It was lying on the ground with the strap wrapped around a post that was attached to a carport. The saddlebag was stamped with Fauna's name, and the new owners recognized her name from the missing person flyers around town. Now, the new owners didn't touch the bag and immediately contacted John, He then went to the house and retrieved the saddlebag, and upon looking inside, he found nothing of significance, just a couple of cigarette butts and some loose tobacco, which made sense considering Fauna smoked. John speculated that Fauna might have moved the silver coins to the bag, as it was large enough to hold all of them at that point. She only had about 1,000 coins. Now here's where it gets interesting. Sheriff Dave Daniel also spoke to Newsweek for the podcast, and he was not happy that John revealed all that new information. Daniel further mentioned that there were numerous theories about what happened to Fauna. However, he declined to comment on whether he believed one theory more than the other, stating that nothing had been ruled out at that point. Now, unfortunately, after the Newsweek podcast was released, there have been no significant developments in Fauna's case. Her family continues to search for answers, holding on to the hope that someday they'll uncover the truth about what happened to Fauna. All right, let's get into this perspective, and I want to start with Fauna before I expand upon what I was talking about with the hitchhiker. I'm not a psychologist, and it's definitely not my background, but I do think as investigators, yes, we're profiling suspects, but we're also profiling our victims. And this is just a thought, a theory, if you will, on what I believe Fauna was feeling at the time when she decided to go on this little road trip. Yes, I absolutely think there's truth to the fact that she was going to meet up with Dallas's friends. We know that's to be true. She took the coins and she did, in fact, meet up with one of the three individuals. However, I think there was another element to this. I think with everything that Fauna had experienced, she just wanted to get away for a little bit. She wanted to disconnect. And I think that's partially why she didn't take her phone, even though, as I mentioned, that wasn't something she was really attached to. I think she knew that she probably should have a phone, but she just didn't want anybody reaching out to her. She just wanted to disconnect and get to a different area and maybe meet some new people. She wanted to kind of forget about all the devastation that she had gone through recently, all the people that she had lost by just getting away to be by herself for a while. And maybe when she met this hitchhiker, she took it as a sign of maybe somebody new who she could talk to, maybe confide in, someone who didn't know her previously, and maybe Fauna could share some thoughts with her that she didn't feel comfortable sharing with others, you know, because she didn't want to get around, that she, you know, how she was feeling internally. I don't know. But whatever the case may be, I do think it's pretty clear that she was looking for companionship to a certain degree, some friendship, some people to interact with, and that's been proven by what we do know. And that's that she was not only picking up a hitchhiker, which was uncommon for her to do, but she was hanging out in unsavory places with individuals that she really didn't know well. And I'm not judging Fauna by any stretch of the imagination. She's fully within her right to do so. And if I had experienced all that loss, maybe I would do something similar. But I'm pointing this out because we can't ignore what we're presented with. And so her being in this vulnerable state where she's susceptible to someone taking advantage of her vulnerability, I think that's what you might have here, coupled with the fact that she had a lot of money in her possession. But now let's go back to this hitchhiker, because I've been kind of harping on this all episode, and I didn't have a lot of opinions or insight that I shared throughout the episode because I really wanted to keep it fact-based and get through the story so that I can come back to this at the end, because there's not a lot of perspective to be given as far as the nuances or the details or behind the curtain stuff of the investigation because we don't know much. But what we do know is that she had this money and that she picked up this hitchhiker who, for all we know, was not the greatest person. And I think it's pretty clear that either this hitchhiker recommended or took Fauna to this house, and she started hanging out with some people there, a gentleman apparently. And maybe she confided in this person. Maybe she trusted him. Maybe she found him attractive. Who knows? But based on what we know from witness testimony, this was not the best house, not the best area. And if for some reason you didn't believe the witness account that they had in fact seen Fauna, well, that was proven to be true by the saddlebag being found at that location. So we know that not only was that identification from the witness correct, but now more than likely the identification and the description of the man was correct, because we know this witness has credibility through the validity of their statement behind Fauna. But we also have the bag, and the bag's empty. Well, why would the bag be empty? Why would the bag be in the backyard or near the carport and not with Fauna, wherever she is? It sounds to me like whatever happened to Fauna started at that house. Maybe it ended at that house, but at least started. So here we are. We have this situation where Fauna's hanging out at this house. You have some unsavory characters, probably some in some financial constraints, and they see this woman who maybe mistakenly or maybe voluntarily reveals that she has these coins in her possession. I don't know what happens from there, and I'm not even going to speculate because there's no evidence of anything. But what I will say is this. That house is the key. Forget where her car was found. Yes, it's important. Yes, you want to scan the area. Yes, you want to forensically process the car. But to me, where the car is found, probably a nothing burger, right? That car could have been dropped there by anyone. It's still a possibility that it was brought there by Fauna, although that's not my professional opinion. So I wouldn't get too caught up on the car and where it was found and why it was found there, because more than likely that was dropped by one of the perpetrators of whatever happened to Fauna. So I'm off of that. You note it, you get back on the house. If I'm detectives, I'm finding out the names, date of birth of every single person who was hanging out at that location. And to be honest with you, I'm really drilling down on this hitchhiker. I want to know everything. I'm taking the kid gloves off and I'm really drilling down on them because they brought her there. There's no doubt in my mind this hitchhiker directed her to this location. How else would she have found this house? And what's the chances that she picks up this hitchhiker, drops them off somewhere else, and it just so happens that Fauna ends up at a house, a location that this hitchhiker is known to hang out at? Don't have to be a detective to figure that out. There's a connection there. So for me, hitchhiker is a person of interest at minimum. And I am going to spend every second of my investigation trying to identify all the people that have been to that location in the past few months leading up to Fauna's disappearance, what their criminal history looks like, and I'm going to start pinning them down one by one. And that's really where it's got to be. You know, whatever happened to Fauna started at that location, whether it was just an interaction with the offender at that location or whether the actual crime went down at that location. That is the key right there. Personally, I think detectives probably know that, which is why they were so upset with John for releasing that information, because that's really what they had. That's their guilt knowledge. If someone came forward and said, listen, Fauna showed up at this house, there was so-and-so there, they saw the money, they decided to take her with them and they took the money and that person came back and Fauna never did. Well, if that information about the coins wasn't public, then you know whatever witness comes forward is telling the truth because, again, guilt knowledge, nobody knows it. But now that it's out there, anybody listening to this podcast, watching this YouTube video, they're all aware of this. So I'm not faulting John. I understand where he's coming from. I've never been through something like that. But as a father myself, I would be doing the exact same thing. I would not rest. I'd be out there every single day pounding the pavement, trying to figure out what happened to my daughter. And I don't have all the specifics on what law enforcement has been doing. I'm sure they're working hard as well. But what I do have, and I've shared with you, is that John was essentially working his own daughter's disappearance as a detective himself. So he's out there. He's going door to door. He's visiting the different crime scenes. He's working this case from all angles. And apparently, he's getting leads from witnesses, maybe even before law enforcement. So kudos to him. Nothing but respect for him. And I want him to keep pushing forward. I can tell you right now, I wouldn't be the one stopping him. Yes, I would probably have a conversation with him as the investigator in the case to say, hey, John, we both want the same thing. You're not helping me get maybe a potential prosecution if everything's already out there. And hopefully they can come to a common ground where they can work together instead of against each other. That would be ideal for everyone involved. And that's where we are in this case. We know that somehow that house is involved in Fauna's disappearance. Even more than that, we have this unidentified male driving this white BMW. Someone who has frequented that house knows who that man is. And my number one question to law enforcement would be, have you identified this person yet? If not, that's what we got to figure out. Find out who that guy is. You probably find out what happened to Fauna. That's the big gap here. We have to bridge that somehow. And maybe it's the hitchhiker. Maybe it's someone else who's been to that location who you have something on. You got to squeeze them. You got to get them to give you the information you need so that you can close this case for this family. So where does that leave us? Where it usually does. We need someone out there. We need one of you to come forward and provide the information to link to this unidentified male or someone who is at that location who can shed light on this situation. So just to recap, Fauna Fry was last seen at 3:38 p.m. on June 29, 2020 at Gooseberry's, an organic food store in Grants Pass, Oregon. Her car was found months later on a spur road off BLM Road 34-8-1 in the Mount Reuben Road area. Fauna is described as being 5 foot 6 inches tall and weighing between 135 and 150 pounds. She has blonde hair and blue eyes, and she was last seen wearing a pink or purple zip-up lightweight jacket, cotton capri black leggings, a light or white-colored shirt, light-colored sneakers, and white Champion ankle socks. If you have any information about Fauna's disappearance, please call the Josephine County Sheriff's Office at 541-474-5123. A reward is available. And my final words, as always, go out to Fauna's friends and family, specifically John. John, as a father, I don't know what you're going through, but I do know if I was faced with a similar situation, I would be doing exactly what you're doing. And I know that you will not rest till you'll get answers. Regardless of what it is, you want to know what happened to your daughter. And if something did happen, you want to hold the people responsible for their actions. However, I do want to say one thing. We have not found Fauna yet, and we do know that she was going through some things and was trying to disconnect. It is still possible that she's out there somewhere. And in the off chance that she is, I hope we find her soon. Whatever the reason behind her going off the radar for a while, we get it. But we want her to come home, and we want her to reunite with John so they can figure out how to move forward together. Regardless of the situation, we're with you, John, and we're going to cover the story till we get answers, and I'm hoping that happens sooner than later. But that's going to do it for me, guys. Until next week, everyone stay safe out there, and I'll see you soon.